Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Last June, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Section 2 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, which now means for federal purposes that it is no longer justified to solely between one marriage is no longer solely restricted to only between one man and one woman for federal purposes. However, that very ruling specifically said states still had the right to define marriage. Unfortunately, history since last June that every single case has been brought before a judge dealing with constitutional amendments or with Defense of Marriage Acts, that judge has struck that down. We're hoping that there will be a change in that. Within weeks of the Supreme Court ruling, Pennsylvania's Defense of Marriage Act was challenged. This was followed by numerous other lawsuits by quote-unquote gay couples and the announcement by our Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, that she would not defend marriage. Even though during her run for Attorney General, as she had promised to defend all Pennsylvania laws, several weeks followed before Governor Corbett announced his administration would defend DOMA. Let's fast forward to a few weeks ago, actually in May, when Judge Jones ruled our Defense of Marriage Act was unconstitutional, and within 24 hours, Governor Corbett said he would not appeal that decision. You know, by the end of the appeal, he had 30 days to change his mind on that, but he refused to change his mind, and thus, in Pennsylvania, we do have legalized, quote-unquote, same-sex marriage. My question is there anything that can be done? I know Schuylkill County Register of Wills, Teresa Gaffney, has attempted to intervene, but at this point, we still have legalized same-sex marriage because she's been rebuffed at every turn. My guest today is State Representative Daryl Metcalf. He represents the 12th House District in Butler County and is chairman of the State Government Committee in the House. Thanks, Representative Metcalf, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane. Good to be with you again.
I'd like to talk about Kathleen Kane to start with. On June 6th, you held a hearing on the effort to impeach Kathleen Kane. What happened during that meeting? It became rather contentious, just from what I've read, and I've seen some of the video of that.
Well, it was an interesting development with the hearing. We had testifiers lined up, several testifiers lined up to talk about why the Attorney General should be, you know, abiding by the law, enforcing the laws of Pennsylvania, defending the laws of Pennsylvania, which is her constitutional and statutory responsibility is defined by the Constitution and the law in Pennsylvania. The Attorney General has refused to defend the constitutionality of our state DOMA when it was being challenged. She has also used her office to change our reciprocity agreements for carry concealed permits with other states, which many of us believe what she has done is not authorized under the law. That's another action that she's taken that is in violation of our state law. So, you know, I had put forward a resolution of impeachment, and we offered an amendment to that original language. Actually, we took my language, and we were actually amending it to a resolution that the minority chair, Representative Cohen from Philadelphia, had put a resolution in to commend the Attorney General for her actions in office.
For not upholding the law.
Obviously he wouldn't have.
Exactly.
So he put this this resolution in, and I thought, well, it gave me an opportune time to utilize his resolution and amend it, offer an amendment to it, and have a hearing on actually the subject of the Attorney General, but actually amending his resolution to impeach her because she is supposed to under the Commonwealth Attorneys Act. Defend the constitutionality of all Pennsylvania law. It's a statutory requirement. The Constitution requires that the Attorney General fulfill the duties that are designed for her by the legislature through statute. So she's in violation of both the Constitution and the law when she refuses to defend the constitutionality of any Pennsylvania laws being challenged in the courts, which is what she did.
Right.
So when we first opened up the hearing, the Democrats, in an unprecedented fashion, something I'd not seen in the 16 years that I've been serving in the Pennsylvania legislature, made a motion to adjourn the hearing. So I was blessed to have enough of my colleagues there from the Republican side that we defeated that motion. There was a followed-up motion by one of the members, or an attempt to make a follow-up motion. He was not recognized, so he He wasn't officially allowed to utilize a microphone, and he continued to try and interrupt the proceedings. So I called him out of order and let him know that if he wasn't going to come into order, then he would be removed from the hearing. And when I asked security to remove him, he and the other Democrats jumped up, and one of them said something to the effect of, "Let's go, boys," and they walked out of the hearing.
How infantile.
In protest.
Oh, my goodness.
So rather than stay and hear the testimony and actually have a substantive conversation about the responsibilities of the Attorney General and whether or not she's fulfilling those responsibilities, they chose to run and hide instead of stay and debate.
Yeah.
I think it really showed her indefensible position, that they did not want to stay there and be put in a position of having to defend their Democrat Attorney General when her position is not defensible.
And she is the first Democrat that's ever been elected as Attorney General, right?
That is correct. She's our first Democrat Attorney General, and unfortunately, she is going the way of Attorney General Holder.
Exactly.
Instead of the way of a lead law enforcement officer like we would expect her to be.
Right. And we see that. I mean, it's not just Pennsylvania's Democratic Attorney General. It's also, I believe, it was in Oregon and, of course, California. So this has become a habit among the Democrats.
Well, it is. They have failed at moving their policies through the legislative process as on a whole across the nation. And where they're failing to do it through the people's elected representatives, they're trying to use the court.
Yeah.
To overturn the laws that the people's representatives have put in place. And that's what's so offensive in this current decision by Judge Jones against our state DOMA, and what is even more offensive in our own Republican governor that would not take it to the end and continue the fight and try and get this to the U.S. Supreme Court. Because a federal judge donning a black robe has no authority to strike down a state law. You know, we are the United States of America.
Yeah.
We, the states, gave limited powers to the federal government. We did not give power to a federal judge to dictate to us as a state what state law can stand or fall in the state of Pennsylvania.
And what gets me is that he only represents the middle district. He's a federal judge for the middle district of Pennsylvania. I would think he would have no say over the entire state. I would think his ruling would be just for, I mean, I'm not an attorney, so I'm just throwing this out as my thoughts, but how can he have say over the entire state when
without appealing his decision, that's the effect that his decision has, is it strikes down a state law enacted by a state legislature, signed by a state's governor, that was all done through the elected authority that was given to those individuals by the people of Pennsylvania, the citizens of Pennsylvania, and we've had a federal judge that has struck down a state law. And this is what they're doing across the country. They've not been able to beat us at the ballot box. They've not been able to beat us through the legislative policy debates. So now they're using the courts to enact this through a tyrannical type of an action of a federal judicial activist.
Right, exactly. Because that is exactly, they have totally given up on passing any kind of amendment or law to legalize same-sex marriage. I mean, I think that's been, three or four liberal states, some of those under false promises from legislators, such as up in Minnesota. But those have either defeated a DOMA attempt or not a DOMA attempt, but a marriage protection amendment attempt, or given false promises, such as in Maryland with religious protections in their marriage law, same-sex marriage law. But consistently, as you're saying, those pushing for the legalization of same-sex marriage have given up on the legislative process and are looking to the courts. So we live in an oligarchy now.
Well, and they've done that not just with this policy, but they've done it with education policy.
Not true, yeah.
They've done it with energy policy. They've done it with our voter ID law, our election code. So you see one law after another. When the leftists lose because their policies are not embraced by the majority of Americans, these progressive anti-freedom policies that they promote that really strike at the values and the heart of America, when they lose at the ballot box, when they lose in the legislatures, you know, they're just going to their liberal activist judges and trying to strike this down. And we cannot allow this. I mean, and the reason that it's happening is because these judges do not fear either of the other branches of government.
Exactly.
And they should.
They should.
Because the legislative branch of our government has the power of impeachment.
Yep.
And because our forefathers throughout the history of this country have been so lax in holding the judicial branch accountable with the use of impeachment, that's why you have judges that have no fear about making a judicial decision that is in violation of the Constitution, in violation of the will of the people. We need to start going after some of these judges with impeachment.
Yeah, my understanding is, from what I've read, is that impeachment used to be, like in the beginning of the nation into the 1800s, impeachment was a pretty regular thing. In fact, can't remember the name of the judge, but he was actually impeached because he was drunk in his home. They actually impeached that judge. Of course, this was, again, the 1800s. So, you know, things have definitely changed since the 1800s, but...
But the power of impeachment is fully vested here in Pennsylvania within the House of Representatives.
Oh, within the House of Representatives, okay.
The Senate would prosecute, but the House of Representatives initiates the impeachment process.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Senate, actually, it's prosecuted by the House, the Senate judges it.
Similar to federal level, okay.
Right, but so, and we have the authority to impeach any elected official.
Yeah.
From your local mayor that's thumbing their nose at the law, to a local council person, to a local school board director, to the governor of the state.
Mm.
And it's something that everyone in elected office should fear.
Yeah.
They should fear that when they are going to do something that's unconstitutional or in violation of the laws of this state, then they should fear that the House of Representatives might come after them with the impeachment process. That should be there as an accountability measure on behalf of the people. And unfortunately, it's not right now because we don't exercise impeachment like we should.
Right. And all it would do would be to take impeaching one or two judges for them to get the message that they
better toe the line
and that they better look at the Constitution before they make any decision. And it wouldn't take that many judges being impeached to get the message across. So it's very disturbing. You're talking about, you know, states' rights issues are becoming increasingly attacked. I mean, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution is very clear that those powers that are not given to the federal government in the Constitution are relegated to the states. So increasingly, we see those states' rights just being totally ignored as if that 10th Amendment doesn't even exist.
And that was why I authored a resolution calling on our governor to stand up for states' rights in this decision by Judge Jones related to our State Defense of Marriage Act. And our argument was that the federal court had, you know, through a blatant and tyrannical usurpation of power, that they launched a direct assault on the sovereignty of every current and future law adopted in this Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Because if they can overturn that law, they could come in and overturn Doctrine.
Exactly.
Or they could come in and overturn any other legislative decision that we've made through statute with the funding of our school systems or the welfare system or the transportation laws of the state.
Yeah.
It's a breakdown in the way that our government's supposed to function, and it's a corruption of the government of the state and nation when you see a judge make this kind of a decision.
Yeah, there's no checks and balances any longer. It's, you know, the activists want, no matter what the issue, they take it to a judge, and they pick the judge. You know, the judges are basically handpicked with the assumption that they're going to rule the way that the ones suing want them to rule. That in itself is troubling. I knew when I read that Judge Jones was going to be the judge dealing with this issue, I was pretty sure. I mean, I could almost predict the outcome of the lawsuit that our DOMA would be declared unconstitutional.
We have a lot of work to do from the state level, and all of your listeners can be actively involved in that, because whatever policy you're looking at, right now we're seeing invasion of our country on our southern border like we've never seen publicized before. The invasion is occurring by the youth of foreign nations as they're fleeing into the United States to gain access to this executive order declared Dream Act by this president that is currently attracting illegals into our country because he refuses to have his administration enforce our immigration laws.
And I find it interesting, along those lines, I find it interesting that, you know, the law says that only those crossing from Mexico, who are Mexican residents, crossing our southern border can be turned back by the border patrols. They can be turned back, but any other one coming north from other countries through Mexico, but they live, such as what's happening here in Honduras and other Central American countries, those cannot be just automatically turned back. They have to be processed. And that's the my understanding from what I've read, that that is the way the law is, that if they don't are not a resident of Mexico, then the Border Patrol cannot just turn them around and march them back down south. So there's
that's a problem. When you have, Mexico is very quick to enforce their own immigration laws. We see one of our former Marines locked in a prison down there now because he made a mistake in crossing the border.
Made a wrong turn.
With his firearms and, essentially made a wrong turn, as you said. So they're quick to go after Americans. Yeah. I mean, we see, example after example over the years. But when they've got these foreign nationals that are coming in from their southern border, they're allowing them to pass all the way through their
country
and invade the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that it advances their own policy and their own agenda to invade the states with their own countrymen and to take some of the wealth of our country illegally back out to their own nation. So when they're allowing that, there's no reason why we should not send a foreign national right back across the Rio Grande that was allowed to cross over from that country because they facilitated it.
They absolutely did. And, I mean, and cities are being... I just read where mayors, actually, there are even Democratic mayors who are opposed to this, but we have the mayors of cities that are being asked to house and to, take care of these youth. We have Border Patrol agents down on the southern border right now changing diapers and feeding baby bottles to babies, that have been brought across by older youth. But mayors are even objecting to this because they see it as draining their resources because they know the federal dollars are not going to sustain the objective, which I guess, like you're saying, is the Obama administration's objective is to make sure those illegals stay here. Because some of the money Obama's asking for from Congress right now is to hire attorneys for these youth who are going to be brought to the states and housed and taken care of, put in our public school systems, and then they will, who knows how many years down the road, be brought before an immigration judge. And part of that money Obama's asking for is to pay for attorneys for these kids to plead their case that they need to stay in this country no matter, let's just forget the fact they entered illegally. So it's just a total mess. And do you have any answers to these problems?
I had founded State Legislators for Legal Immigration years ago. And last year we were looking at trying to ramp up our fight when the immigration issue was heating up. But it kind of got pushed to the back burner by the federal government as you watched the horrific murders that took place against our citizens in Benghazi and some of the other national issues that were kind of taking front center stage last year. So we haven't seen a lot of activity until this year. Now we're seeing what's occurring on the southern border. Legislators for Legal Immigration is the conduit that I've used to try and touch base with state legislators from around the country on this issue, and we're going to be doing that again here in the very near future.
That's a concern, obviously, since you've been able to form this group. It's a concern with many legislators then across the country.
It is, and it has been. When you look at what happened with the Bundy rancher, Mr. Bundy out there in Nevada, and you see how he's been violated by federal bureaucrats and his family and his rights, something the lifestyle they've been leading for generations out in that area of the country.
Without being hassled.
Right, and then you see in our own state, in your corner of the state, up in the Allegheny National Forest area, where we've seen the federal government come in and restrict private property rights, restrict access to some of the gas and oil operations that should be going on up there so people can get access to the mineral rights that they own and the energy resources that they own beneath the ground there in the Allegheny National Forest area. We've seen a battle in that regard. And we're seeing that around the country. So there's an opportunity for us to join together as states, as state legislators, as citizens of the various states of the United States and stand up to our federal government to say, we didn't give you this type of authority under the federal Constitution. You're not allowed to tell us as states how to run our state, the citizens of our state, you're not allowed to take away their property rights.
Right.
So the federal government has been overreaching in a lot of areas. When you look at the various regulations that are being put forth by the federal government, I was just talking to somebody today that's been working with some of the state legislators in West Virginia on the coal issue.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which we have a very similar issue here in Pennsylvania. Some of our coal power plants that are being shut down because of federal regulation, which is then, you know, reduces the demand for coal, reduces the marketplace activity for coal, ultimately reduces the economic activity around coal. So you see jobs lost.
Right.
Vendors that service those companies, you see where they reduce their employment. So you see a ripple effect through the economy because of this overreaching arm of the federal government in energy policy, in private property rights, in the immigration policy that's allowing these illegal aliens to invade our country, ultimately steal jobs, steal resources from Americans that otherwise would have access to those, whether it's educational services or other services that are provided throughout our economy.
Services that are paid for by our tax dollars.
Exactly. You know? We pay for our services for our use.
Yes.
We don't pay for services for the use by foreign nationals that were not authorized to be in our country.
Yeah, who are here illegally. But unfortunately, the word illegal, like so many other words, is being redefined, especially when it comes to the immigration issue. They don't want us calling them illegal immigrants. They want to call us some other nice-sounding name.
Well, that's when they're really not illegal immigrants. They're illegal aliens.
Well, that's true. That's
when you get what's called a green card, which isn't really green anymore, you're a resident alien.
Mm-hmm.
My wife immigrated here from another country many years ago when I came back from the U.S. Army's deployment that I was on, my station being in West Germany at the time. When we came back to the United States, my wife had to immigrate here, and she had to do it legally. She was able to get a card, what they called a green card, and on that it said resident alien. You know, people who are here illegal, they're aliens, but they're not resident aliens. Mm-hmm. They're illegal aliens.
Illegal. Yeah, and you are the perfect person to do this because of your wife. I mean, you have gone through the process, or she's gone through the process, but you together have gone through the process of her immigrating here. So you're the ideal person to be able to see, to know how the process is supposed to work, and and you can see how it's broken. So like so many other components of our government today, and
well,
I know voters,
there's a lengthy process to becoming
well,
a citizen.
True,
and
it doesn't happen overnight, but still,
it's a process that my wife had to be interviewed. Mm-hmm. She had to when people are immigrating to our country from foreign nations. Some of those people are coming from countries that have diseases that we've really eradicated from our culture
through the use of various
vaccines and such. So we're allowing some of these foreign nationals coming back in here illegally to bring strain of tuberculosis, to bring other diseases back into our country.
And those kids
have been a problem for us.
And those kids are bringing those diseases back, and that's being totally ignored by the federal government. And the doctors who are trying to expose this are being told they better not, or else they're going to be in big trouble. So anyway, so what can we do? I mean, I know that you're going to be holding hearings this summer. I mean, a lot of people think legislators get the summer off, but that's not the case at all. But you're going to be holding hearings, and plus, you're at the district office there in Cranberry Township. But this summer, what can citizens do to help with, like, say, the illegal immigration problem? The Defense of Marriage Act, I don't know if there's anything we can do since the appeal process is passed. I know Schuylkill County Register of Wills is still trying to.
Well, I think our hope now on the marriage issue is that some of the states who have courageous governors will be taking this fight to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that we hopefully will have a good ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court to defend the rights of the states.
And all they have to do is uphold their ruling from last June, which Kennedy specifically said the states have a right to define marriage. But, of course, he called them all sorts of bad names because they wanted to defend marriage, but still. Yeah, Supreme Court is.
But what citizens can do to have an impact on what's going on is, first, we've got to motivate our citizenry to stand up for their rights, to stand up for the interests of America.
Mm-hmm.
This is about what's in the best interests of American citizens, related to illegal alien invasion that's occurring.
Right.
We need citizens to stand up and demand from their government at all levels, because this is going to impact local levels, as we've seen in California, where we've seen local residents standing up saying, don't bring these illegal aliens into our community.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, those protests are certainly legitimate and needed, but we also need to ensure that citizens are contacting their elected officials from the county level to the state level to the federal level to the local level and demanding that their elected officials become vocal on standing up for the interests of Americans, to stand up for their Constitution and defend their Constitution against this foreign national invasion that's occurring on our southern border especially.
Okay. If people need to get involved, they know they're very discouraged because they see what's happening and they're very frustrated because they don't know what they can do.
Part of it's happening because there's so many people that are apathetic, that are not actively engaged, they're not engaging their elected officials, that are giving them all a pass because they're sitting silently by and authorizing it through their silence.
That's true. Silence is acceptance.
Citizens need to rise up and take to the streets in a peaceful manner of protest and demand that their elected government represent the interests of American taxpayers.
Yeah, absolutely. And how can folks contact you if they want to get more information on some of these issues?
They can contact me by going to my website, which is repmetcalf.com. That's R-E-P. Is in representative, R-E-P, Metcalf, M-E-T-C-A-L-F-E, M-E-T-C-A-L-F-E, repmetcalf.com. They can contact me through there via email, or they can call my office at 724-772-3110.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot. And you are, a lot of times you're the lone voice, seems like, out there in Harrisburg, but appreciate your courage and appreciate the stands, the courageous stands that you take for Pennsylvanians and for conservative values. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate the work that you do with American Family Association and the work that you're doing here with this this radio program. It's always great to have the opportunity to come on your show and talk with you so that we can have more of our citizens informed about the important issues that are taking place and that are active here in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Hey, you take care and you have a nice summer.
You too. Have a great day, Diane.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.